we observe that the brevity of life in relationship to the eternality of God. We made reference to the park ranger at the Grand Canyon who observed people when they saw such a grandeur sight and said that it looked as though they felt that they were a single flap in a gnat's wing in light of the grandeur that was in front of them, and that they should consider as they go back to where they came from and get busy doing what they were called to do. We noted the multitude of activities in life which can sometimes cloud our vision and the direction of our lives. We all experience setbacks in life, and we long that the world that is so crooked will one day be straightened out. We observe the heartaches that each of us face during the battle of life and how that can influence our interest and drive in completing the course that God has called us to. The confirmation of God confirmed the work of our hands was not limited to our occupation, for you are more than what you do. The focus was not the blessing of God on our lives, but rather the assurance of God in our lives. The evidence of that confirmation was not so much the absence of challenges, but rather in and through those challenges that God would be glorified, even though our lives are brief. The examples we observed was that of Noah, who labored for 100 years, and he got to see the confirmation, as it were, come in the form of raindrops on his hands. For Moses, he spent 40 years leading an obstinate people and saw the promised land from a distance, but was not allowed to enter it, for it was for another generation. But the work that he performed was absolutely essential. David realized it because he was chased most of his life, and yet God, who said that he would be king and set a ruler on his throne forever, was at the coronation of Solomon when Solomon took over. And yet the scriptures refer to David looking to that one who would sit on his throne, ultimately the Lord Jesus Christ. And so David labored in trusting God to fulfill what he promised in his life and what he promised for his people. Jeremiah was a true prophet, not because of the response of the people, but rather that he was faithful to deliver the word of the Lord to those people despite them rejecting it. He had to wait to hear through many tears and on his death, "Well done, good and faithful servant." It was said of the Apostle Paul, "I will show him how much he must suffer for his kingdom." And although Paul was abandoned by most, it says, when he was in prison, "And the Lord stood with me." The assurance that despite the assault externally, that there was an internal assurance. The Lord himself stood with me. We in America like to judge God's blessing based upon what we have and what we do. But God's blessing and the confirmation of his assuring us in the work of our hands is not for what we have, but who we are becoming and what he has called us to be. We made reference to Joseph, who was in prison on several occasions for long periods of time, and the assurance to him is recorded in the phrase, "And the Lord was with Joseph." And the Lord was with Joseph. Sometimes we may reach periods in our lives where we do not sense the confirmation of God in the work of our hands. It's a longing of the heart. And last week we focused on the confirmation of the work of our hands as possessive, that is, our hands individually, my life individually. We long for God to confirm our essence, our existence, our work, His design on our lives. This week, I would like for us to consider together God confirming the work of our hands as plural. That is, our hands, your hands, and my hands together. For although God calls people individually, your name individually written in the book of life, He places you as an individual within His body as a whole. And although you are an individual part of that body, you are to function in relationship to and in conjunction with others. For that is His design for your individual life, to be part of His corporate body. We live in a country and a culture that is incredibly individualistic. As some of the songs go, "I am a rock, I am an island. This is my life, leave me alone." We are enculturated in America with who you are and what you need to be, and the corporate sense is lost. Although our culture is foreign to God's culture, or should I say, His kingdom, His body, His family, this morning I would like us who are gathered here this morning that we can say, or can we say, "I am so glad that I'm a part of the family of God." Can you say that this morning? It's a short hymn, but I cannot get fired until Russ gets back. So we're going to sing hymn number 419. 419, "The Family of God." I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this far. I'm part of the family of God. Can you say that this morning? In 1979, there was a small group of believers who observed that most churches were not functioning to their full potential because of the perception of and the structure in local churches. The view of the church and the practical outworking was that a pastor directs the board and they take care of the affairs of the church. When the more appealing a pastor was, the larger the congregation grew. When that pastor wore himself out, another one would be sought, and so the cycle would continue. On the other hand, the individual would attend a church to their liking, and when it no longer became their liking, they chose another, and another, and another. if we're careful and take a closer look at the scriptures, we see that it teaches something different. It teaches a plurality of elders who share the oversight, and that it is the members themselves who are part of the body and are gifted and designed to participate in the growth and development of that body. The failure of the individual to fellowship with and function in that church in relationship and conjunction with the whole affects the overall health and effectiveness of that church. This morning, I would like us to take a closer look at the teaching of Paul as he sought to explain that to the church at Ephesus. If you'll turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I'll be reading actually from verse 1 to verse 16, and I want you to note the individual calling and then the corporate participation of the design of God for his body. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were all also called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father over all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also descended to the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself he who ascended far above the heavens so that he might fill all things. And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by the craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Paul starts out by exhorting the individuals in the church that they might walk worthy of the manner in which they were called. But they were called in relationship to one another. It says that they are to show tolerance for one another. Okay. If everybody in this room would tolerate everybody else in this room, would we have unity? Okay. A year ago, I used the illustration of two cats whose tails were tied together and put over a clothesline. Were they united? They were tied together by the tail. Did they experience unity? Okay, the Church of Christ, is it united? On paper? Is it united in reality? If we all tolerated each other, we would not have unity that was designed by God. It requires more than tolerating each other to experience the love that was designed for us to experience in relationship to one another. Diligence, he gives a number of qualities and characteristics which we are to exhibit. And diligence is not to create something, but rather it is to preserve something that already is. That which exists is one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who is over all and in all. You see, we are individual parts of that body. Jesus said, I will build my church. The church did not start with you, and the church will not end with you. It's his church, and it's designed to be an exhibit of unity on earth so that people might understand that which the Father has designed. A couple readings in John, you don't need to turn there, but Jesus' desire for his disciples, listen to the inner relationship and the love that we are to have toward one another. John 15, verse 8, my Father is glorified in this, that you bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I also love you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for a slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give to you. This I command you, that you love one another. And in the high priestly prayer, Jesus puts it this way, as he prays to the Father in regard to the church that would be established, and the proclamation of the gospel. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but on those who also would believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me, for you have loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you, and these have known that you have sent me. And I have made your name known to them, and will make it known, so that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. The heartbeat of God for the corporate body, His church, that we would love one another, that we would serve one another. In our printed songs this morning, we read, or we sang, "Let the earth resound with songs of faith at the wonder yet to come, when all sin and pain are put to death and the church and Christ are one. When we stand as God's great family and we meet the Father's gaze, and we share in his eternal joy, and we join in ceaseless praise." That one day will come to fruition. And God desires that in his body, his church, made up of individuals, we would have such a love and relationship to one another that the world would recognize there's something different. That is what we were baptized into. So why do we not enjoy it in our culture and in our country? Because we are too busy hewing out cisterns of our own making, thinking that we will have better waters to drink. You see, humility and gentleness and patience and tolerance and diligence is too much effort for me and my life. Not only were we placed into a body that we would experience mutual fellowship and love with one another, but Paul writes that we were given gifts in verse 7, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gifts. The parable of the talents should be an exhortation to us not to bury in unuse the gifts that he has entrusted to us. Those gifts are to be utilized within the body. We thank to him who much is given, much is required. To him who is given little, little is required. Scriptures do not teach that, but rather he who is faithful in little is given much. You see, that little church that started in 1979 was faithful, though it did not have many resources. And just as the nation of Israel was a slow beginning process because the first three matriarchs were barren. Going to make you a father of great nation. Barren, barren, barren. God, when are you going to do what you promised to do? Look at the obstacles that we have run into. Is it ever going to happen? Yes, for God said it would, and barrenness would not stop it. We see in verse 11 that Christ gave some individuals, based upon their giftedness, certain roles to function in his body. We see that, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. He gave them for a purpose. They were to minister to the saints within the church, but they were to equip the saints for the work of the service. You see, it was not intended that the minister perform the service and you observe, but rather you be prepared and equipped in your giftedness that you might serve and that the body would be built up in its most holy faith. Those appointed in positions in the church are to utilize their giftedness for the building up of that body. our work, those of us in the church, are to know and to function as God has gifted us. The failure to be involved greatly limits the effectiveness of that body. Paul preached the same message as he is seeking to communicate to those at Ephesus. He spoke it to those in Rome. Listen as I read Romans chapter 12. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think as of having sound judgment, as God has allotted each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individual members of it, or of one another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each of us exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the portion of his faith, if service, in his serving, or he who teaches, in his teaching, and he who exhorts, in his exhortation, and he who gives, with liberality, he who leads, with diligence, he who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, giving preference to one another in honor. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. Contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. The activity and the function of those in the church who have received gifts, which God desires that they be employed for the service and good of others. To the church at Corinth, he writes, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the multitude of idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are a variety of ministries, and the same Lord. There are varieties of effect, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom and through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by one Spirit. And to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, to another distinguishing of spirits, and to other various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all things, distributing to each one individually, just as he wills. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, And all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is one member, but the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body, is it not for this reason any less part of the body? And if the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not a part of the body, is it not for this reason any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body, which seem weaker, are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less memorable members become much more presentable. And he goes on. What Paul sought to establish at the church at Corinth, he sought to establish at the church at Rome, and he sought to establish in the church at Ephesus, because he wanted to communicate to the church the reality that you do not hire a minister and watch him perform the ministry, that each one of us is gifted and placed in the body, and it is absolutely essential that we become active to the degree that God has gifted us. For failure to do so produces an unhealthy body. A year ago, when I was going over some of this material in Sunday school, I used the illustration that Judy has a Model A car, and it has four cylinders. And her brother came and, being somewhat of a mechanic, became interested in it, and he pulled one of the plugs off of the spark plug, and the car continued to run. Fascinated by its ability, he pulled another plug, and the car continued to run. Wanting to stretch the envelope, he pulled a third plug, and sure enough, old Betsy continued to run. But I asked the question, how effective, though the car was running, would it be as a means of transportation, functioning on one cylinder? You see, the body of Christ is designed to love one another. We've been entrusted with gifts to serve one another. The failure of the individual to recognize his design and his or her giftedness, and the failure to involve themselves in the body, will create an unhealthy body and a limited witness to the world. That little church that started in 1979 with the vision that God would, that churches would function and that it would function, is still in existence today. It has been provided through the years with gifted men in pulpit ministry. It exists surrounded by a culture that is less interested in God's word and its teaching. It has within it people who have been redeemed and who have been given gifts in which to serve in and through. The question remains, will it be a healthy church? Will its people respond to the call in their individual lives to lay down their lives to serve the whole? Will it be an effective light to the community? You see, the answer lies in your hands, for you are sitting in that church's facility this morning. You have been given a tremendous teaching elder who is seeking to equip and to impart knowledge of our Lord Jesus. Back in 1979, there was a young 24-year-old man who had the privilege of partnering with that group. And now he stands before you this morning, 36 years later. And I would exhort you, as the vision that was established for Bethel Community Church, that God would confirm the work of our hands. We are individuals. We have been given gifts. We are not mighty. We are not noble. But we are chosen by Him. We are gifted by Him. And He calls us to function as He has designed within His church. It's been my privilege to observe many who have laid down their lives, of which I have greatly benefited from. God has established a little church. He has given it His word, and now will its people respond to His divine design, experience the love that He intended for them, and lay down their lives in service of one another so that the light might shine from this place. May God confirm the work of our hands, plural, together. Yes, may God confirm the work of our hands. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You for writing our names in the book of life individually. Thank You for calling us individually to Yourself. And now from Your word, we see that You have placed us individually in a body that is made up of corporate members, and that Your design for our lives is that we function with the enabling that You have given, that we might serve You and serve one another. So in our individual lives, may You confirm the work of our hands, that we might know to that which You have called us, and that as a church, we might function as Your body, corporately, together. And may You bless the work of our hands. Yes, bless the work of our hands. Amen.